Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a wonderful day.
Amen.
It's an absolutely wonderful thing to be a child of God.
Amen.
I've been encouraged lately by my brothers and sisters. They're such a blessing to me, and it's kind of a, I don't know what you call it, the way that it works is not the way the world thinks it works, because I'm the most encouraged by my brothers and sisters in the times of trial.
Amen.
In the times of their trials and in the times of my trials, when I see other Christians holding up, not losing their faith, and turning to God and sharing how they feel so that we can together face the trials. It's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing. And we all have troubles. We all have problems. And it seems lately there's a lot of us dealing with particularly serious or bothersome things. And what I'm seeing are brothers and sisters who are willing to concentrate more on their brothers and sisters' issues than their own issues. And I'm learning something that I should already know, I suppose I do, that when I do that, I seem to not have any problems, at least for the moment, that I'm helping a brother or sister. You see how it works? It's a wonderful thing. God has blessed us so. I'm missing my brother Stan and sister Darla, as I'm sure you are. Now, I already knew that Stanley does a lot of stuff. But when he's not here to do it, you notice it even more so. And I'm just rejoicing that him and Darla are on their way back. Matt's telling me that they're gonna be worshiping in Needles this morning. And that's a good thing. That means he's not too far down the road. And knowing Stanley after church, a couple hours, he'll be home. Anyway, it's good to be here. It's good to see all of you. And we're going to continue to talk about our theme passage, which is Hebrews 2, chapter 1. And I will get around to reading that at some point during the lesson this morning. And I'm not expecting this lesson to take a particularly long time, but that's not a promise. I've learned better than that. Sometimes stuff happens, you know what I mean? But if you care for a title, I'm just simply calling the lesson The Drift. And it's about the dangers of drifting and some suggestions on how we might stop if we find that we are drifting. You know, we see it all around us in the headline news, and sometimes it's in the lives of people we know, and people that maybe at one time we even trusted. Not only that, sometimes we find that it's in our own lives. And it happens before we even realize what's occurred. It's not an intentional thing that goes on. We don't plan it. But it happens nonetheless. We're lulled by the slow pull away from God. And then we're swayed by the things that we start to think are more important. Then one day we wake up and we realize that things seem to be different than they once were. And we find that we're in a place that we really don't want to be. We never intended to go there, but we're there. And we're not even sure how we got there. Now, many of you can connect with this because you've been there. Maybe you're there now. I'm talking about the drift. It happens. Sometimes it happens out of busyness. We just got so much to do. And sometimes it happens out of hurt. Someone has hurt us, some situation has occurred, and we're so hurt that the drift sets in. And sometimes it happens when things are bad. Our lives are just, you know, we perceive all of the things going around us. Just we're in a bad situation. And sometimes it happens when things are good. Isn't that odd? When things are good, we can sometimes begin to drift because we can sometimes think that we deserve the things that are in our lives. But finally, I'm getting the things that I deserve. So we begin to rely on things other than God, and the drift sets in. And sometimes it happens because we're just overwhelmed with the circumstances that we're facing in our lives at any particular time. Sometimes it happens because it's hard to forgive. And sometimes it is hard to forgive. It's hard to forgive, and if we can't forgive, we can't move forward. So the drift sets in. And oftentimes it's because we've stumbled along the way. It happens to us. And when we stumble, we find that the temptation we face is fierce. We always have temptations, but when we stumble, it seems it's worse, if you know what I mean. And the enemy, and I'm not talking about flesh and blood here, the enemy waits for us. The enemy waits to pounce on us. He's looking for just one little wrong move. And he's going to pounce on you and eat you alive. He's going to devour you. As we head down the slippery slope of life, sometimes we find we just can't get a foothold. And we begin to slide. And we lose our way. We don't know where we are. Now, by definition, to drift means a continuous, slow movement from one place to another. So what that tells us is the drift, it doesn't happen quickly. We notice things that happen quickly. It's simply a natural process that occurs when we lose our bearings and stop moving. See, here's the thing. When we lose our bearings and we stop moving, we think, okay, I'm just going to stop for a minute, right? No, you're not. You never stop. That's when you begin to drift. See what I mean? When you stop moving in the right direction, you think you're standing still. But you're drifting. And you're drifting away. Now, we rarely do things like that intentionally. But nonetheless, it happens to us. Many of us. Our family used to go to the beach every year and camp in the summertime. Had a lot of good times there. And at that time, in my youth, I could even occasionally be caught on a boogie board, riding the waves and having a good time. Don't really do that anymore. I learned there's animals in that sea that I don't want to tangle with. But at times, I noticed the area, and I've even been out there myself on occasion, but the area out past where the waves begin to break, you know, you look out there and sometimes it just looks so calm, so peaceful. And so people have been known to go out there and lay back and just float around in the water, just enjoying the sun, enjoying the ocean, and relaxing. But sometimes people become a little too relaxed. And they get lost in the moment. They enjoy in themselves. And they don't realize that they're drifting. See, they aren't standing still. And it's very easy for one to drift out farther into the sea than you might intend to do. And when you find yourself out there, that wonderful, relaxing ocean that God has given us, it can, in an instant, become a life-threatening force to deal with. The strong pull of the waves, instead of moving us to shore, can move us right out into the open sea. And many a person has felt the strong tug of the water that sought hard to draw them further and deeper into danger. Now thank God for lifeguards that are watching, that are trained, and they see when things are going awry, and they've come to the rescue of many unsuspecting drifters and brought them back to safety. Now, you can probably see where I'm headed with this. This has spiritual application for sure, because that's very similar to the things that happen, or the thing that happens in our life sometimes. Maybe we're just not looking. We're not paying attention. We're no longer on the alert. We're all wrapped up in enjoying the wonderful moment that God has given us. And we're drifting. We don't mean to. We're just having a good time, huh? It's so good. Thank you, God. Temptation then pulls us in the wrong direction. The riptide of sin is real, brothers and sisters. It's dark and it's ugly. It can take us under before we even know what's happened. We suddenly realize that we're stuck in a place that we don't want to be, and we look around and we notice how far from the shore that we've drifted, how far from safety that we are. I ran across this quote that I'm going to read because I think it states it well. It says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you there longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. You know, we don't set out looking to dive into that pit of sin. We don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I think I'm going to sin today, right? We just don't do that. Christians don't. And we don't wake up thinking, well, I'm going to turn away from everything that I know is right today, everything that I know is true. We're taken to that place little tiny steps at a time, huh? Little steps, unnoticeable. And you know what? It can happen to anyone, any one of us. If you think it can't happen to you, you're the next on the list for that old devil. He's got you where he wants you. He wants you thinking it can't happen to you. You're not immune. No one is immune. And when we drift away from God, it has a ripple effect. It doesn't affect just you. Sometimes we think that. When we drift away from God, all of the relationships that we hold dear in our lives are affected, because he is the reason we're even able to love at all. And we begin to drift away from him. We begin to drift away from that love. Things are not good when we do that. Without him, everything just gets numb. There's a danger in living within the drift. I don't want to live there. We will not. This is an interesting thing to me. You would think that the law of averages would have it that when you drift, you know, you don't know which way you're going to drift. So maybe sometime you would drift towards good things. You would think that might happen to somebody, right? Never does. You never drift toward good things. You know why? Because when you're drifting, the devil's in control. And the devil's not going to have you drifting towards good. He's got, see, when you're drifting, you don't have the power. You're unable to control where you go. But the devil's got you. He controls it. Leaving the safety and covering of God's protection takes us to dangerous places. And often it brings heartache into our lives. Amen. And struggle that's impossible to escape without paying a dear price. Sin is very costly. Amen. It always costs something that we don't want to give. Now, I'm going to move along here real quickly, and you'll be surprised how fast this goes. I got 5 warning signs that we could observe that might show us that we are drifting. And then I'm going to give you 4 ways that we might be able to stop drifting. And when I get to that, the 4 ways that we can stop drifting, I'm just basically going to be reading scriptures. Sometimes I think reading scripture is enough. Don't need a lot of commentary sometimes. The scripture will explain it to us. Number 1 warning sign that we might be drifting. We begin to pull away from godly influences. Our marriages begin to suffer. Our families begin to suffer. And trust gets broken. And you know, we lose our empathy for other people. Our caring for other people. We shy away from close relationships with other believers. Now that's a big one. Pay attention to that. You find that, you know, you once had close relationships with brothers and sisters, but you don't want them to know too much about you. You don't want to get too much into their lives. You're shying away from that kind of a relationship. And we neglect accountability. Don't want anybody to know where you are, or where you're going, or where you've been. You don't want to be accountable for your time to brothers and sisters. And, you know, the connection with brothers and sisters that we have that would encourage us in our walk, we're shying away from that. So we lose that. That's kind of what I was talking about in the beginning. We need brothers and sisters. We need that help along the way. Number 2 warning. We stop praying. We're just too busy. Our lives are filled with so much during the day. One thing to another, and you know what? We don't get it done, so we put it off, and we know the next day is going to be the same thing. We're just so busy. And then at night, when we go home, and we finally might get a few hours of rest, well, we're weary, and we're tired, so we go to bed, and we start to pray, and we go to sleep before we even get Heavenly Father out of our mouths. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. We're just simply overwhelmed sometimes. We shoot a few prayers up his way, like, Lord, bless our day, perhaps. But we seem to be unaffected by the lack of closeness we have with God. You ever feel that you're not close to God? I would think every Christian feels that, but that does affect us. It should. But when you get into this state, it doesn't affect you so much. You're too busy. We're constantly wired to our electronic devices. And you know, I'm one of these. You know, I enjoy those things. And I use them, and they can be a great tool. But it seems like sometimes we're more interested in what other people have to say on Facebook or on Twitter than what God's heart might have in store for us for the day. We're not looking to God. Don't stop praying, brothers and sisters. Amen. Turn off your phone for just a few minutes every day. Get down and pray. Talk to God. Number 3, we lose our focus and or our desire for His words. You know, we're no longer reading or hearing it. We're distracted by all the things that call our name during the day. You ever have things calling your name? Amen. Sometimes I do. Could even be a sandwich, right? It doesn't take much, right? Things call my name. And so I got to drop what I'm doing and go take care of that. I'm distracted. I've got to-do lists. You keep to-do lists, right? I got to get this done. And it beckons me to get this done. From the moment I wake up, and sometimes even before I get out of bed, instead of saying, thank you, God, for the day, I'm thinking, okay, what's on the list? What's first? What do I got to take care of? Where am I going here? You know, these things all run through our minds. Crazy schedules some people try to live. And it leaves us no room for moments with Him. We've got to have a relationship with God. We need those moments with Him. Or maybe we find ourselves just completely disconnected, stone cold, distant, withdrawn. His words of life and truth are now falling on our deaf ears and hardened hearts. Matthew 13, 14 and 15 says, ever hearing, but never understanding, seeing, but never perceiving. Number four, we lose our heart for worship. We stop going to worship services. We just stop going. And we fill our minds with excuses for why we can't. And convince ourselves, maybe you've heard this, convince ourselves that it's okay because God knows my heart. That's the problem, your heart. And yes, God knows it. God knows you've forsaken Him for something else, and something else has become more important to Him. And by the fact that you say, well, I still care about God, doesn't matter what you say. What do you do? Yes, God knows your heart. We tell ourselves, well, attending worship is really not that important. I believe in God. I believe in His Son. It's not that important. Or maybe we do still attend. You know, we still show up. But we're only doing it so that we can check that church box off on our list of things to do. If that's it, if that's why you show up so at night you can lay down and say, well, I got that done, then you know you're still forsaking. You're still forsaking God even though you showed up. It's a heart problem. When there's no longer any spirit in our actions, we sing words, don't we? Yeah, we sing words. We hear words and we go home. We did not really sing, though, did we? We did not really hear the words, but we're unaffected and we're distanced. Number five, spiritual things that once concerned us seem to no longer concern us. We're more easily influenced by the opinions of the world than the truth of God's word. Compassion for people wanes. God's Holy Spirit within us is stifled. Our heart for God is dulled. The pull towards sin become stronger. Can you identify with what I've been to all of these places that I'm talking about? I know what I'm talking about. We begin to view life then, when we get to that point, through selfish eyes, blurred by our pride, our quest to live happily. That becomes the thing. Now, everybody wants to live happily, but we don't just want to live happily. We want to live happily on our terms. I know what's best for me, right? On my terms. We find ourselves twisting the truth around just a little bit so that it meets our own needs, or should I say our own desires. Just, you only need to change it a little bit and it'll work out for us. We become numb to the danger that surrounds us, often until it's too late to avoid great consequences. Consequences follow our choices. And the word is choice here. We're going to talk about that in just a second here. The choices we make have consequences. And sometimes we pay way more than we want to for the choices we make. Now, the good news, we don't have to live this way. We just don't have to do this. We can choose. That's back to that word again. We can choose to live differently. We can. But it's not always easy to do. And because it's not always easy to do, sometimes we choose the easier path. You know what? It's easier just to go with the flow. Never have any conflict. Never stand up and say, that's wrong. Never say, well, if that's where you want to go ahead, but I'm not going. It's just easier to go with the flow where everybody else is going, like the river, right? The path of least resistance. So much easier. But it takes hard work, brothers and sisters, to keep from drifting. To keep from drifting means we got to keep paddling, sometimes upstream. Now take note of this. Knowing of the truth isn't the same thing as immersing ourselves in the truth. One will keep us aware and close to safety in Christ, and the other will allow us to drift ever so slowly in the wrong direction. Now, four ways to stop drifting. I'm going to read some scripture here, and wouldn't you know it, the first one I have on my list here is right up there on the board for you, Hebrews 2:1. The first thing is we need to pay careful attention. We need to stay aware and alert. Hebrews 2:1 says, so we must listen carefully to the truth. We have heard, or we may drift from it. Listen carefully, hear it, absorb it. If you don't, you can drift. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, we talked about him just a minute ago, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And if you're drifting, you might be his next snack. Mark 14, verse 38, says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. You know, I think I come up a bit short in this. I'm always asking God to deliver me after the fact. Maybe you're that way too, but perhaps we could go to God and ask him to deliver us from even being tempted in the first place. We have example of that, don't we? God, take me away from these things. Let me not be tempted by these things. Number two, be strong in the Lord. Put on the armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle, I mentioned this already, your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Satan is real. He is our enemy. We get in trouble when I think that person who cut me off in traffic or said nasty words to me or treated, when I think he's my enemy, Satan loves that because you're not seeing him. He's the enemy. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you're able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Boy, those are good words, aren't they? In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray for each other. Number three, listen to and meditate on His words that are truth. John 8:32, and you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Our freedom is in the truth. If we know the truth and we meditate and live in the truth, then we will not be a slave to sin. We will be free. Psalms 1:1-2 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But those whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. Listening to that, brothers and sisters, this Word of God isn't something that we come here on Sunday morning to get. We got to keep on filling ourselves with this every day, spending time meditating, making our minds right. And the last thing here I want to do before we close is choose to stay close, to remain anchored in Him. Joshua 24:15, we're familiar with that. Choose, back to that word again, right? Choose this day whom you will serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Sometimes we get a wake-up call, you know, and all kinds of things in life. Sometimes something happens to us to cause us to wake up and see things differently. God sends those to us sometimes.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, we don't. Sometimes we don't. So a wake-up call is a blessing. We're stirred out of the lull that we are in, suddenly realizing how far we've gone, how far we've drifted. We see where we're headed. What a blessing it is when you're drifting and you wake up and you see you're drifting and you see where you're going and you see how far away from where you were that you are now. What a blessing that is. When we see that we're not close to God anymore. Now, if you find yourself there right now, God wants to pull you back. And God can pull you back. He wants you close to Himself. Amen. Don't wait till tomorrow to set your heart in the right direction. Amen. Not guaranteed tomorrow. Confess. Confess where you're at. And turn. That's called, repentance is called turning, right? And turn back to Him. It's not too late. No matter where you find yourself right now, it's not too late. We have the power through Christ to choose wisely. What I'd like to do now is close the lesson with a prayer, and we'll pray together, and then we'll close the lesson. Dear God, forgive us all for drifting from You from time to time, for allowing other things in our lives to become more important than You are. And we ask You, Father, to help us live more carefully, to help us to make our choices wisely, and to stay close to You and anchored in Your truth. anchored in your love, knowing that apart from you, Father, we have no hope. Thank you for your great love, your great mercy, and your grace. Thank you for waiting for us, Father, and for calling us to you, and for strengthening us in our weaknesses. Thank you for being our refuge and our safety, and for filling us with goodness and hope. We come to you today, choosing to walk in your presence and in your light. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's the choice you have to make, whether you want to walk in the light or not. If you have a spiritual need, come forward, let it be known as we stand and sing.